Welcome to Fresh Manna, Fresh Bread. A very personal message to the partners of Benny Hinn Ministries, directly from the prayer closet of Pastor Benny. This gift to you is Pastor's expression of thanks for your love and support of this ministry. Now, here's Pastor Benny.
We serve a wonderful Jesus. There's none like Him anywhere, and to Him belongs all the majesty and the glory. And God's precious people said, Amen. And today we continue Romans chapter 5, of course, beginning at verse 12. Now remember what we discussed the last time about Romans 5. Paul the Apostle, having established the benefits that result from justification, and having provided old covenant examples, such as Abraham and David, in this chapter, Paul shows the blessings that accompany justification throughout your life and mine. Now, before we go on and discuss more of this incredible truth in this chapter, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that You will send Your Holy Spirit and be our teacher today. Oh, impart Your truth to our hearts, I pray today. Let Your wealth and riches fill our hearts in Jesus' wonderful name. And again, thanks a million thanks for the privilege You've given us to serve You. Amen and amen. Now, as I closed the last teaching, remember we were talking about something extremely important, that how in this epistle to the Romans, Paul has dealt with two great subjects. He dealt with condemnation and he dealt with justification. But before he leaves these two important subjects, he begins to enhance our understanding by helping us understand the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam, Christ Jesus our Lord. That's, of course, in verse 14 and 15. He helps us understand the difference between condemnation and justification in verse 16. He helps us understand disobedience and obedience in verse 19. He helps us understand law and grace in verse 20. He helps us also understand sin and righteousness in verse 21, and death and life in the same verse. Now, he shows us also three important truths established in this chapter from verse 12 to 21. Number one, he talks about the offense by one, that is Adam, that made all the world guilty of sin. Then he establishes another great truth, and that is the result of Adam's sin in each one of us. And thirdly, he establishes the fact that Adam acted as our official representation, and when he sinned against God, we all sinned. He established that fact. Now, having prepared us, now having discussed condemnation and justification, and having prepared us, let's go on. Verse 12, if you will. The Word of God says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Genesis chapter 3 makes it abundantly clear that this one man, Adam, brought sin to the whole human race through disobedience. It is that original sin which allowed death, sin's close ally, remember, death is an ally of sin. So it is that original sin which allowed death, its close ally, to enter into the world. So Paul here states, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's amazing that from verse 15 to verse 19, Paul affirms this fact five times, where he states, one act of disobedience, Adam's one act of disobedience brought sin and death to all humanity. Sin entered into the world by Adam, for in him we all have sinned. This is the truth he's talking about here in verse 12 so clearly, and mentions that fact and affirms it five times between verses 15 and 19. That sin entered into the world by one man, Adam, and in him we all have sinned. And so now, this is very important, because in 1 Corinthians, like I said, chapter 15, verse 22, it declares, in Adam we all die. So here we see, in Adam we all sinned. In 1 Corinthians, in Adam we all die. For he was our official representative. All mankind, the Bible declares, are made of one blood. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, in fact, let's read it. Now, Paul is preparing us for great news here, because as you'll see later, he begins to introduce the second Adam and shows you and I the glorious victory he brought your way and mine. Look at Acts 17, verse 26. Well, the word of God declares, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. So we are all of one blood. And in Adam, when Adam sinned, the whole human race sinned. When Adam died, the entire human race died. And that is the point that he's making in verse 12. Now let's go on to verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. This is a most important scripture. I want to read that one more time slowly. For until the law, until God gave the law to Moses, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed, Paul writes, when there is no law. His point is very clear. As death reigned from Adam to Moses, so also did sin. Now, since there was no law from Adam to Moses, the death that prevailed could not be the breach of that law. This is very important. I repeat, since there was no law from Adam to Moses, the death that prevailed upon humanity could not be the breach of that law. Therefore, men were subjected to death, not for their own personal transgressions, but for the sin of Adam. His point is very clear. He says, "For until the law, sin was in the world." So between Adam and Moses, sin reigned in the world, and so did death. For remember, he said earlier, death passed upon all men. But then he states, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, men and women did not die for their personal transgressions, but they died because of the sin of Adam. Through his transgression, all, now listen carefully, through his transgression, all the world lived in sin and all the world experienced death. Through his transgression, all come into the world with the seeds of sin and death. All are sinful. All must die. That is the clear message of verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. In other words, men and women died because of Adam's transgression, not their own sins. Nevertheless, verse 14 says, death reigned from Adam to Moses. He makes that point again, that death and sin reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So sin and death reigned over individuals who did not sin and disobey God like Adam did. That's what he's saying here. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death reigned over Noah. Death reigned over Abraham. Even the saints of God experienced death. Even those who did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And now he writes, who is the figure of him that was to come? Now Paul the Apostle begins to introduce the second Adam to us. Oh, and how glorious it is that God sent his Son to this earth that you and I might live and not die, might be righteous and not sinful in his sight. Now, before we discuss the second Adam, let's look again at this very important verse. Paul declared that so universal was the sin of Adam, that its deadly effects were seen over the entire human race, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. And now he talks about the second Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come. He begins to introduce the second Adam to you and I. Hear the contrast between the first Adam and the last Adam begins. Adam was the figure. Adam was the type. Adam was the pattern or the resemblance of him who was to come, that is Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Now, in Romans 5:12, he says that through Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. That's in Romans 5, verse 12. In John chapter 1, verse 9, we find that through Christ we receive light. For the Bible declares that Jesus is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 9. Adam brought sin and death. Christ brings righteousness and life. Remember, In Adam, we all die. In Christ Jesus, we all live. That is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. Adam brought sin and death. Christ brings righteousness and life. In Adam, we all die. In Christ, we all live. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Through Adam, we are guilty. Through Christ, we are justified. Romans 5, verse 18 declares. And that is the message of verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Oh, there's such glorious truth in this verse. Listen carefully to what he says. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. In other words, the offense brought death and destruction. But the free gift of Christ Jesus brings eternal life. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Through the offense of Adam, we receive the penalty of death. But now through the obedience of Christ, you and I receive eternal life. The free gift is life eternal. That's why he begins by saying, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. No, because the offense brought death and destruction. But the free gift, because of what Jesus did on the cross, gives you and I eternal life. Hallelujah. So one man's disobedience brought destruction and death. But through the obedience of the second Adam, Christ Jesus, you and I receive that free gift, life eternal. The difference is shown in the words, much more the grace of God. Oh, this is wonderful. The grace of God, the ground of our justification. Think about this. The grace of God is so much greater than the disobedience of one man, Adam. Because the grace of God is greater than Adam's sin. Hallelujah. In Adam, we got what we deserved, condemnation and death. But in Christ, we have received much more of what we do not deserve, mercy, grace, and life. And that's why he writes, oh, let's read the whole verse again. For not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. Think about that. What the grace of God can do, it can give us much, much, much more than what Adam's sin gave the world. Adam's sin brought death, but God's grace is greater than death. Life is greater than death. Eternal life is greater than anything humanity has experienced through the fall. The grace of God is much greater. And so he says, let's keep reading now. Oh, this is wonderful. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The word abounded means to excel. It means to increase. It means more abundant, more abundantly. Christ Jesus died for every man. Salvation is free to all. All can be eternally saved. John 1:12 declares, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The grace of God, the gift of grace that came by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded, has excelled, has increased unto many. And now the word of God goes on in verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now Paul discusses the difference between condemnation in Adam and justification in Christ Jesus. One more time, let's read that glorious verse. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. When Adam sinned, he brought condemnation. But the free gift, because of what Jesus did on the cross, is of many offenses, our sins, that is, unto justification. For he says, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. So not only did we become guilty because of Adam's act of disobedience, but remember, it was that one act of disobedience. Notice, it is the sin, singular sin of one man, not the sins of his lifetime that had been imputed to us, but only the original sin. That one sin brought condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The righteousness which is imputed to us by Christ Jesus through the free gift of God's grace covers not just one offense, not one sin, but many offenses, all our sins. In other words, Jesus died to take all our sins. Think about it. One sin brought sin and death to the whole human race. But one act of obedience, when Jesus obeyed and died on that cross, now God took all offenses and all our sin and placed them upon his precious beloved Son. And that is what Paul means in verse 16. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See the emphasis he places on that, the importance he places on this truth, that the one sin of Adam brought sin and death upon all humanity. But the one glorious act of obedience when Jesus Christ obeyed his Father's command and died for the whole world, now the sins of all humanity have been dealt with. And all we have to do is receive. That's why he says here in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, here's the key, even though the sins of the world have been paid for, we must receive salvation. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Much more. Oh, this is glorious. The life we receive is greater than the death we have known. That's why he says here the words much more in this glorious verse. Much more they which receive. Much more. The life we receive is greater than the death we knew. What Christ Jesus gives us is greater than what death gave. Now they which receive. He mentions the fact we must receive. We must receive this abundant grace. We must receive this gift of righteousness. Remember, it's a free gift, but we must receive it. Sadly, there is a teaching out there that says the whole world is saved, they just don't know it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus paid the price. But we must receive that salvation before we are saved. We must receive it before we are saved. We are not saved until we receive it. John 1 verse 12 says, and this is the word of the living God. This is vitally important. It comes from the highest authority. Even though Christ Jesus paid for our sin, even though the job is complete, even though the work of the cross is done, yet we cannot know salvation until we accept that salvation, until we receive that salvation. And that is a choice we make. The Bible declares, John 1:12, but as many as received him, as many as received him, it's our choice to receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Once you accept Christ Jesus, once you receive him as Lord and Savior, once the choice has been made, only then salvation is imparted. And the word of God declares also in John 17, turn with me if you will, John 17 verse 8. The Lord makes it very clear that we have a choice. We must receive. Here's what the word of God says. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have received them. That's why Paul, in Romans chapter 5, let's go back and look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. We have to receive the gift of righteousness through Christ. Only then they shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Shall reign in life by one. Those who received this abundant grace, those who received that free gift, will be redeemed from the empire of death. Death will no longer reign over them, but they will reign over death in life by Jesus Christ. Think about it. At one time, death reigned over you and I. But when we receive, when we make that choice and say, yes, Lord, I receive you as my Lord. I receive you. I surrender to you. The moment we accept the work of the cross, only then will we reign over death. Death reigned over us, but now we reign over it. Hallelujah. That's why he says, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, I know, maybe you were a little shocked when I said that there is a teaching out there, but believe me, there is a teaching. And it's been going on for a while, where the teaching says that all are saved, they just don't know it. The whole world is saved, they just don't know it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus paid the price, yes. He was crucified to a cruel cross, yes. He took our sin, yes. He paid for our sin, yes. But we must accept it. We must receive him as Lord and Savior. That is our choice. He paid the price, but we choose. We receive Christ Jesus. We say, Lord, I choose to follow you. Lord, I choose to live for you. As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice you and I have made. And once you make that choice, and once you yield your life to him, then and only then he imparts that abundant grace. Then and only then he imparts that free gift. And then he gives you the power to become the child of God. And only then can you reign in life by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we go on. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Paul the apostle is just repeating that same glorious message in this chapter because it is so vital that we understand what he is writing. What Paul is saying here is very important. Therefore, as by one sin all men came into condemnation, so also by one righteous act all men come into justification. Oh, this is so glorious. Let's read that again. It's so important. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. One sin brought condemnation upon all men, even so by the righteousness of one, that's Christ Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. So, by the righteous act of Christ Jesus, all men now can come into justification of life. Through the disobedience of Adam came the sentence of death, but by the obedience of Christ unto death, the sentence was reversed. I repeat, through the disobedience of Adam came a sentence of death, but by the obedience of Christ Jesus unto death, the sentence was reversed. The disobedience of Adam ruined us, but the obedience of Christ saved us. Hallelujah. By his obedience, he satisfied God's justice and made a way for us into God's glorious favor. And now verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Here we see the difference between willful disobedience and willful obedience. God's command to Adam in Genesis 2:17, he said, if you eat, you will die. But he disobeyed that command almost immediately and brought about sin and death upon the whole human race. But Christ Jesus obeyed totally. The will of God was obeyed totally and brought upon you and I life, and we received righteousness. For the word of God declares in John 17 and verse 4, turn with me please if you will, John 17 verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Christ Jesus obeyed the Father, and therefore the sentence of death was reversed. You and I received life. The difference between disobedience and obedience is death and life. Through the disobedience of Adam, we all died. Through the obedience of Christ, Jesus, we all live. And now verse 20, the Word of God declares, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, this is extremely important that we understand. The law did not come to make sinners. The law did not come to make a man a sinner. The law came to show men how great a sinner he really was. So the law did not come to make sinners. The law did not come to make men sinners. The law came to show them they're great sinners. The law came to reveal they're in sin already. The law came and said, you are guilty. And that's what Paul means by saying, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Man was already in sin. Man was sinful already. When the law came, it revealed to man how sinful he really was. The law came and said, thou shalt not kill, and man was already killing each other. The law came and said, thou shalt not lie, and man was lying already. The law came and said, you'll not covet, but he was already doing it. So what the law did, he said here, is simply revealed. The law turned the lights on, and men discovered, I'm a sinner. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, this is wonderful. But where sin abounded, grace did much more. Grace did much more. Oh, this is so glorious and so holy. Grace did much more abound. Grace did not set aside the law, but rather satisfied it completely. I want to say that again. Grace did not set the law aside, but rather grace satisfied the law completely. As deep as sin goes, God's grace goes deeper. As wide as sin is, God's grace is wider. Where sin abounded, where sin was abundant, where sin excelled, where sin increased, grace superabounded. Grace was more abundant than sin. Grace was greater, much greater. The grace of God is greater than our sin. God's grace is greater than all our sin. Oh, how I love this portion. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Remember something. No matter how deep sin is, the grace of God is deeper still. No matter how deep sin is, God's grace is deeper still. I loved what Cody Ten Boom used to always say, there isn't a pit so deep that Jesus is not deeper still. He is deeper than any pit. His grace is greater than any sin. His love is greater than anything you can ever imagine. Who can fathom the love of God, so great and so eternal? He loves you, remember that. So much more, much more, the scripture says, did grace abound. And now verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. This verse contains the difference between sin and righteousness, between death and life. It shows it to us. From the very moment sin entered the universe, it has reigned, bringing about physical and spiritual death. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, sin has been dethroned, and righteousness now rules. Righteousness now reigns in its place, in its stead. And the new birth is mandatory for life eternal. Faith in Christ Jesus is absolutely essential for salvation. And so he writes that as sin hath reigned unto death, because of Adam's sin, it brought the reign of death. Even so might grace reign. Now the grace of God reigns. Death does not reign over you. Death does not rule and control you. But the grace of God reigns through the righteousness of Christ Jesus. For he says, so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, this is so rich and so deep. Once death reigned over you and I, but now grace reigns over you and I, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, unto life eternal by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, before we go on, I want you to know that in the next teaching, I will teach the entire sixth chapter. In Romans 5, I had to break it down into two because there was so much information and I did not want to rush it. It's so important that we read the Word and study it slowly and carefully, digesting its truth carefully. And so I'm glad I took my time with Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 6, I'll put it all on one teaching tape. There's so much in Romans 6 also, but I would rather put it on one tape for you. Thank you for being my partner. Thank you for being my friend. I pray these teachings have helped you and nourished you and blessed you. Remember something, we need to know the Word of the living God in its wealth. That's the reason why, beginning September, I will begin a daily teaching program on television. I'm calling it Manna from Heaven. In these teachings that I send you on tape, I teach the Bible verse by verse. But in the teaching I'll do on television, I'll be teaching on different subjects. So every day you can watch, in addition to This Is Your Day, there'll be another program now. So you can watch two different programs a day, a teaching program and the program we've had for years now, This Is Your Day, where the power of God is displayed. The teaching program called Manna from Heaven will begin September the 5th on TBN, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And then, of course, we'll be adding other stations and we'll let you know. But for now, we begin on TBN, 6:30 in the morning, East Coast. If by the time you get this tape, we'll be on other stations, I'll make sure you'll know as you watch This Is Your Day, you'll hear about it. Now, till next time, remember, may the Word of Christ dwelled richly within you. That's my prayer for you. And dear Jesus, I pray today that your anointing will rest upon everyone for your name's sake. Amen and amen. Thanks for being my friend, my partner. Thank you for your support of this ministry. And remember, I send you these teachings as my thank you for your support. Again, a million thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fresh Manna, Fresh Bread, scriptural insights that the Holy Spirit has revealed to Pastor Benny in his prayer closet, especially for you. This teaching is made available only to partners of this ministry as pastor's personal expression of thanks for your seed gift each month. We hope that this teaching has been like fresh manna and fresh bread for your hungry soul. For more information about other ministry products or to give a gift of support, contact Benny Hinn Ministries, World Healing Center Church, P.O. Box 16-2000, Irving, Texas, 75016, or call 817-722-2000. You can also visit us online at www.bennyhinn.com. Thank you for your friendship in this healing ministry that takes the gospel to all the nations of the world. May God richly bless you.